Good day, King's Judge. The topic of today's sermon is faithful in adversity. And the Bible character we're going to be looking at closely is the man called Daniel. Many people say, you know, different things about Daniel. Daniel, the man of faith. Daniel, the man of courage. You know, Daniel had the Spirit of God. He manifested the gift of the Spirit. And, you know, like our topic today, he was faithful in adversity. I'm sure everybody would agree to that. But the question is, how was he able to remain faithful despite all that he went through? And I think we can get the answer from Daniel 11, 32b. Daniel 11, 32b says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Only the ones who know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Whereas in Psalm 95 verses 10 to 11, we see a contrast here. The Bible says, 40 years long was I grieved. That's God speaking now. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, "It is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest." So we see Daniel, you know, knew God, knew the ways of God, became strong in adversity, despite the adversity he went through, and then he did exploits. And then these other guys, the children of Israel, God was not happy with them because of the fact that they did not know his ways. So it's so important that we know God's ways, we understand his ways. And so that's what we're going to be looking at today, that what did Daniel know about God that made him stand tall, that made him faithful in adversity? The first thing we know is that Daniel knew God is love and expects his children to love him in return. God is love and expects his children to love him in return. You know, when we sing that song, "Jesus, lover of my soul, Jesus, I will never let you go." You know what? Expect God to check you out, to see if you really mean what you say. Because he will check you out. Daniel knew that in Proverbs 3, verses 3 to 4, it says, "Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation." And this is exactly what happened to Daniel. He found favor with God and with kings, despite the fact that he himself was a slave in captivity. You know, Daniel went through a lot himself. We don't see that aspect. He was in his own country, doing his own thing, and all of a sudden this king from Babylon came and, you know, uprooted all of them. And I'm sure, you know, that question must have crossed through his mind, that where is God in all this? Just as, you know, what we're going through at the moment. But you know what? Daniel knew God had a plan, a bigger plan. And Daniel chose to remain loyal to God. And the rest is history. You know the story. What else did Daniel know about God? Daniel knew that he had to stay away from idols. You know, 2 Chronicles 14 verses 2 to 4 says, "Asa did what was pleasing and good in the sight of the Lord his God. He removed the foreign altars and the pagan shrines, He smashed the sacred pillars and cut down the Asherah poles. He commanded the people of Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their ancestors, and to obey his law and his commands. This explains why when they brought him food that was sacrificed to idols, and they asked him to eat from the king's table and the wine and all the luxuries, he spotted it from far. He rejected it. You see, the assignment of idols is to prevent you from seeking the Lord. And anyone who is not seeking God cannot obey. Look at that story, that verse again, the verses we just read, 2 Chronicles 14, 2-4. Asa first of all removed the foreign altar. Anything that represents or that represented, you know, idolatry, he removed it. Because without doing that, they couldn't seek God. Because the assignment of that thing is to, you know, form a barrier, not to allow you to come close to God. And if you cannot come close to God and seek God, then you can't obey him. So Daniel knew that already. So anything, and strangely, 1 John 5:21 says, "Dear children, keep away from anything that might take God's place in your hands." So Daniel knew that. The moment they presented that thing, excuse me, the moment they presented the food and the what, he just said no. He said, "Give us vegetables and water and we'll be okay. You know, don't take me out of action." What else did Daniel know about God? Daniel knew God has all wisdom and power. Daniel knew God controls the course of the world events. He removes kings and sets up other kings. Daniel knew God gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the scholars. Daniel knew God reveals deep and mysterious things and knows what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. The question I ask before we go back to Daniel again is that, who ignores a God like this? A God who reveals deep and mysterious things and know what lies hidden in darkness, though he is surrounded by light. A God who controls the course of world events. Who ignores a God like this? No wonder Daniel saw prayer as a privilege, not a burden. And he prayed 3 times a day. And we know what God did through that man in the ministry of prayer. How God revealed all kinds of things. I'm not going into stories today. I just want to bring out, you will know the story already, so I don't have to go into the stories. But I'm just bringing out what he knew, what helped him, what sustained him in that period of adversity. Daniel knew God as having all wisdom and power. Daniel knew it was important that he had to connect to God. So Daniel saw prayer as a privilege and not a burden. Do you see prayer as a burden, or do you see prayer as a privilege? What else did Daniel know? Daniel knew that those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Daniel 12:3. It's all there. The one I read before about Daniel knowing, you know, that God has all the wisdom and power, I think that's in Daniel 2. But this one is in Daniel 3. Daniel knew that those who are wise will shine as the... Sorry, this is Daniel 12, beg your pardon. Daniel 12:3. Daniel knew that those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky, and those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. You know, despite the fact that Daniel had three other friends, you know them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, in fact, some people coined a name for them. They called them the SME boys. SME boys. They were that, you know, popular. But let's see how this whole thing, you know, progressed. You know, initially, the Bible said that Daniel purposed in his heart. It was Daniel. He was the leader of the team. Daniel had so much influence on these guys. Because when we start from Daniel 1, the Bible says Daniel purposed in his heart. You know, it's a very popular, you know, verse that he will not defile, you know, the temple of the Lord. You know, they will not eat what they were not. So it was Daniel that purposed it. Of course, they were all together, but it was Daniel. It was recorded that Daniel purposed in his heart. Now, when it was time to speak to the king's officials as well, to say, well, you know, we don't want this food, you know, we just want to, you know, eat our vegetables and drink our water. It was Daniel that went to meet with the king officials. When the man said, ah, you know what, you don't understand what is going on. If the king finds out that you guys are, you know, leaner than the rest, then he's going to, it was a serious thing, he will, you know, cut my head off, he will kill me. It was still Daniel that went to appeal to the man and said, you know what? Test us. Test us. 10 days and then come and check us out again. It was Daniel. It was also Daniel that went to see the king when the king said he had a dream and, you know, he couldn't interpret the dream and he was going to kill, you know, Daniel and his friends and all the, you know, magicians. It was Daniel that went into the king's court and told the king, give us some time. We'll, you know, find out the interpretation and we'll come back to you. It was Daniel. It was Daniel that gathered his friends together and said, guys, let's pray. Let's pray to the God of heaven to have mercy on us. It was Daniel that God revealed that dream to. And then, of course, you know, Daniel went to see the king and, you know, the king gave him gifts and all whatnot when Daniel had interpreted the dream. It was also Daniel, the Bible records, that at Daniel's request, he asked the king to promote his friends. That's, you know, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. It was at Daniel's request. So Daniel had so much impact on these chaps that by the time we got to Daniel chapter 3 and the king had set up a statue and he wanted people to bow down, this guy said, O king, we bow not. We have seen the God of Daniel at work. We have seen what God can do. We have worked with Daniel long enough to know that this God is faithful. O king, we bow not. Even if it means that we're going to die, so be it. Where did that boldness come from? It was through their association with Daniel. It was through their relationship with Daniel. They had seen how devoted, how dedicated Daniel was. And they said, you know what? If God can do this in the life of this man, then we ourselves will stand. Because in Daniel 1, they were not speaking. They were in the same, you know, group, but they were not speaking. It was Daniel that was doing this. But by Daniel 3, those guys came out with boldness and they stood for God. And that's why the Bible says that those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. Daniel led many. He led these chaps to righteousness. But do you know that even Daniel himself started as just being an interpreter of dreams? But towards the end of the book of Daniel, Daniel himself was now getting visions about the world events. What will happen at the end? God was revealing it to this young man. Can you imagine? He started just interpreting dreams, but God kept on taking him from one level of glory to the other. to the point where Daniel had revelation about world events. Awesome. Those who lead many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever. You know, that same Daniel 12, the first part of verse 3 says, those who are wise will shine as bright as the sky. Proverbs 11:30 says, he who wins souls is wise. So Daniel knew this. Daniel never shied away from telling his bosses about the need to repent. You know, it's one thing to speak to your colleagues, your contemporaries, but to speak to your boss. But Daniel never shied away. The gift of God in him, he used it well, but he used that opportunity to tell them about the need to repent and turn to God. We see a story in Daniel 5. You know the story very well. The handwriting on the wall. The king saw the handwriting on the wall. He became very fearful. And somebody told him, there's a guy in this kingdom. He served so many other kings. He's got the spirit of the holy God in him. He's able to solve complex problems. And that's how Daniel was ushered in to speak to this king. And Daniel came in. And the king was saying, you know what? I would give you this. And Daniel said, look, I'm not interested in your gifts. I'm interested in your soul. And Daniel told him, he said, look, the king that was before you, your predecessor, great guy, mighty, powerful, God blessed him. But he got too big-headed. And then God had to humble him. For 7 years, he was banished into the wilderness, into the forest, until he looked up and said, indeed, God, you reign. And Daniel said, you know the story. You know, you've read the account. But you are following his footsteps. Just the same way the king was acting funny. That's the way you yourself are doing, worshipping the gods of gold and silver. Daniel did not shy away. He told him the truth. And may I detour a little bit here? May I detour? You know, the handwriting on the wall. Do you see the handwriting on the wall? You know, it's a figurative expression now. But you know, sin is what has separated us from God. You know, we look at Corona today. The problem we have now all over the world is just for one thing, Corona. If Corona is taken out of action, then we're good. Schools will resume. You know, students will have to go to school. You know, work will start. Everything will, you know, there will not be any. This Corona is the problem. Do you know that sin is the problem between God and humanity? While they are still racing and trying to find a way to resolve this thing, God has resolved the issue of sin, because sin has very major consequences. It's eternal separation from God. But God has dealt with sin. God sent Jesus, his one and only son, to come into this world to die for us and pay the penalty of sin. So whatever it is that we were supposed to pay as the reason of what we have done in the past or what we'll ever do has been paid for by Jesus. So it's paid for. God is not asking you to pay for anything. He's not going to, you know, mete out any punishment to you. It's free of charge. It's on the account of Jesus. But God is saying, you must acknowledge that you're a sinner. But you're a sinner. I don't know. I don't feel anything. Yeah, you don't. You might not feel it, but in your actions it shows. And more importantly, do you see the virus? No one sees the virus. I've never seen it. But it's there. So you must accept what God is saying. When God says that all have sinned and fallen short of his glory, you are part of the all. You too have sinned. So accept it, that I'm a sinner. And God is saying to you, all you need to do is to repent. But genuine repentance. Tell him you are sorry. Tell him you're sorry for the things that you've done. You've broken his laws. You've broken his command. Tell him you're sorry. And then invite Jesus into your heart. Put your faith in Jesus from now onwards. Make up your mind that you are going to follow Jesus. And as you do that, God will send you his Holy Spirit to help you to live a life that will please him. And as you do that, you know what? Eternal life is yours already. Anyone who accepts Jesus into their heart and means it and follows him and is committed to him has eternal life. So it's a win-win situation for you. You know, back to that story in Daniel 5. Daniel told that guy, the king, the interpretation of that dream. He said to him, "Mene, mene, tekel, pasin," and mene meant numbered. God has numbered the days of your reign and has brought it to an end. Tekel means weighed. You have been weighed on the balances and have not measured up. Passing, according to the Bible, means divided. Your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Do you know that that night, that king died? That same night that Daniel gave him the interpretation of the dream, he died. You know, friends, brothers and sisters, we're in a very, very, these are strange times. So when you hear messages like this, it's not a popular one. It's to help you to take action. Don't leave anything, you know, and don't procrastinate and say, well, I will deal with it tomorrow or day after. Today is the day of salvation. If you hear his voice, please don't harden your heart. And the question I leave you with is, do you see the handwriting on the wall? God bless you.